Hide, witch, hide. The good folks come to burn thee. Their keen enjoyment hid behind a gothic mask of duty.
Open it, baby. Open that door.
Now, one of the fantastic things about Blows Against the Empire is that, in my opinion, it's not only one of your best albums and Grace's best albums, but it's also one of the best albums that Jerry Garcia, Mickey Hart.
Oh, yeah, Garcia played lovely, didn't he?
Oh, I think it's one of the highlights of his career.
And it was almost all accidental. Grace and I started, she just maybe I asked her, because we had just come off the Volunteers tour and had been exposed to Nicky Hopkins.
Yeah.
And Grace was like stealing left and right and learning everything she could from him because he just was so good. She couldn't even get close, but she didn't need to. She took all of her newfound chops and ideas from Nicky, and she said, yeah, I'll help you. We were just going in to do a demo for the next Airplane album, a couple songs. We didn't even go to Wally Hyder's, which is the usual place, probably because it was overbooked at the time. We went into a place called Pacific High Studios, which was right in back of the old Carousel Ballroom, Fillmore West, and with a couple extraneous Grateful Dead engineers, I think Bob Matthews, and his girlfriend Betty Cantor, and then eventually Phil Sawyer at Wally Hyder's, and just went in to do a demo, and it was one take. I mean, the whole thing, I don't know that we even rehearsed it beforehand. And I was playing fairly repetitive, simple stuff for me, because I always write coming out, as you said, with the Beatles before, with all the complex chord changes. We just went into undoable things, that you couldn't just go in and jam, is what I mean.
Yeah.
But on this album, I just had a couple good licks, and I figured we'd do those and play a while and put down the basic idea and then give it to the band and say, let's expand on this. Because our band was great on expanding, particularly Yorm and Jack and Spencer were just marvelous as improvisational players who would pick up anything and just go to the nth degree. I mean, we used to do takes in the studio, being the amateurs that we are and were with RCA, where we do like 96 takes of the same song. Because either something would fuck up, or we'd have to stop in the middle, or we just, let's try it again kind of attitude. And every take would be different. That's why a song called Sunrise, I think, which starts off side two, was about 12 or 15 takes of Jack. On each different, take, he'd play something, and so, oh, that's good, Jack. Do another one.
Yeah.
Because we had the time, and RCA was paying for all the studio time. So, yeah, do three or four more. And by the time I got to mixing it, I say, well, each one of those, I go overboard sometimes. And in this case, it worked. I said, well, why don't we just use all of them? And we did. We put up all 15 takes of Jack doing this various feedback. And it was just orchestral.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, better than Bach and Beethoven for me. It was just magnificently beautiful constructions of overlapping and not quite in time. Offset chords and sustains that was just unbeatable for me.
Well, one of the things that's amazing about the album is that you have your acoustic 12-string guitar.
That was the basics of it.
Grace's monumental piano.
Oh, monumental. How did she get that good all of a sudden?
Yeah, well,
because she was an amateur worse than me.
Well, what's great is...
And it's Nicky Hopkins. Let's blame Nicky Hopkins for that, because he inspired her greatly, I know. As a piano player, she's very observant. As a human, she's very observant, and at times puts it to good use, and in this case, took as much as she could get from Nicky, and it doesn't sound like Nicky at all. If Nicky had done it, it would have been totally different. But what she got from him, and it's almost like gospel music.
It is.
I didn't notice it at first. But then as we got into mixing the album and then just hearing it over and over the way you do in a studio, I said, wow, that's really sweet. I was like, turn that up a little.
Please. Well, it really holds the whole suite of music.
Oh, yeah,
side
it's
together.
Lovely. I just make frameworks, really.
Yeah.
I'm just a rhythm guitar player. And I've had the luxury of having Jack Yorm and Spencer at one point doing improvisations over my rather skeletal... amateurish chords, Beatles, Weavers, whatever chords, and then Grace coming into that one just changed our whole life, really, in the sense that even Grace and I got together over that album and had a daughter and a family and all that for a while, and so that it was a very life-changing kind of situation, not just musically, but in every way possible.
I'm less surprised that you got together than that you didn't before. What kept you apart before?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not really a hustler. And the two women, particularly the two women that I really fell in love with in my life, have come after me, Grace and another girl named Ginger. And we're both chaotic women and not really meant for the long term, if you know what I mean. But the short term was magnificent. And wasn't Grace like all of our dreams at one point?
Absolutely.
At 1965 with the great, starting with the Great Society. First time I saw her, I go, whoa, that's good. Because I'm really impressed with women singers. Good, strong, vital women singers for some reason move me beyond all degrees. It's like the prow on a ship. You might as well not even have a ship if you don't have that prow really, you know, leading the charge. And so Grace, singing before her as well, was magnificent as a singer, very powerful. Even the folk icons of the 60s, from Sylvia Tyson, even Mary Travers, Ronnie Gilbert, just always swept me away more than any of the rest of them, men included. And so when we started a band, that was a particular thrust for me. Is Marty said, "You want to start a band?" And I said, "Yeah, but we need a woman." And that was a little foreign to most men in those days, because there weren't too many women singers fronting a band. But he said, to his credit, "Okay, I know one, by the way." And Sydney was singing at the Drinking Gourd at the time, and she was very good and powerful. I mean, Grace to this day resents her range because it is so varied and beautiful and textural. And then Grace made our band just over the edge.
Well, the incredible thing, if you listen to a track like Sunrise on Blues Against the Empire or Silver Spoon on Sunfighter.
We do a lot of those songs of hers today with the women who are singing with us today. Poor Grace, she doesn't want to sing anymore, the dear. There was a great line. I was watching a B.B. King thing on, I think it was Nightline, and somebody was talking about, hey, musicians don't retire. They just fall over and die. What are musicians? Why should musicians retire? We're not working, number one, in the first place. What are we going to retire from? Playing?
Right.
Please. But then what do we do?
Right.
So I'm really aggravated at Grace for what she calls retiring. And I always tease her saying that she doesn't paint anywhere near as good as she sings yet. I give her a little out. And she doesn't paint bad, but she, as a singer, she's like a splendid, incredible, moving creature that she doesn't believe or know the effect that she has. She has all these causes, and if she would just sing for them, she could raise consciousness so high just for that and make all of us feel better. That I lament the fact that she, for whatever psychotic reasons that she has, doesn't want to sing at the moment, because that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, B.B. King doesn't stop being B.B. King. Ella Fitzgerald does not stop being Ella Fitzgerald, even if she doesn't sing. So not to do that, I bug her at least 10 times a year. What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
God, get some therapy or something.
Well, one of the great things about listening to these albums is how powerful she was.
Oh.
She didn't depend on the sort of wistful, folky, post-Joni Mitchell trip.
She could do that, too.
Yeah.
A song called Lather is very good at that.
Yeah,
and there's others like that. But no, she has the most moving voice in many levels. And I've taken her down to very quiet levels. On the Pero album, for example, there's a song called Lilith, a Lilith song where she gets very... even beyond what I expected from her, into this really wispy kind of thing, and then it gets bigger. But no, she's very adaptive to her circumstances.
Just a moment in time.
I think our whole band, at least the musicians in our band, Yorma, Jack, Spencer, and then Grace and Marty even. I'm like the least capable man in the band, really. And compared to all of these other people who are, their improvisational levels are what half of what made our band our band. Because my little folk melodies are just sort of weak folk songs.